searching the Scriptures, studying the Scriptures, using the Scriptures, and I still don't. You will not understand it all. But you read it, and the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you in all truth, and you'll understand what you need to know when you need to know it.
Amen.
And years down the road, you'll be rereading something you didn't understand. You'll say, wow! Now I know what that means. There it is right there. Amen. So search the Scriptures, Jesus said. Amen. All right, in Revelation chapter 2, I hope you have it. Let's look at verse 5 first. Remember, underline that, remember therefore from whence art fallen and repent. And do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. And he is talking to the church of Ephesus there, not individual believers. But he said, church, I want you to remember some things. Remember where I brought you from.
Amen.
Remember how I established you. You didn't do this. Now skip down to verse 16. In verse 16, he says, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Now he says, remember. Then he says, repent. In other words, when you remember what God wants you to remember, then you can turn back to it. But if you don't remember it, you have no reason to turn back, turn around, repent. All right, now look at verse 25. He said, but that which you have already, hold fast till I come. Hold fast. Hold it. Hold it steady. Hold it fast. Don't let it go. What you've already got, hold on to it. He's not talking about material things. He's talking about spiritual things. All right, go to chapter 3. Look at verse 3. Now he's talking to the church at Sardis there, and he said, remember, there it is again, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. Now there it is again. Remember, turn around. Remember what you got, hold on to it, turn around, you're going the wrong direction. You got it, hold on to it, okay? Now, look at verse 12 in chapter 3. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Now he says, remember, repent, and you can overcome. You don't have to stay like that. You can overcome that. Amen. All right, now go to verse 21. In verse 21, he says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He says, now you remember, you repent, you overcome, and I'm going to have a seat for you. I'm going to have a seat for you. Now he's not talking about salvation by works. He's not talking about holding on to the end. He's talking about remember what I've already given you, because you forgot some things. You need to turn back around to those things. Remember where I brought you from. Remember what I did for you. And then you can overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I'll put you a seat up there beside me. Now, remember. I think as Christians we forget a lot. And today, I want to jog your memory. Just for a little bit, I want you to remember some things. Amen?
Yes.
I remember every time I go to crank my stinking lawnmower. I hate cutting grass. I've always hated cutting grass. I got a big nose and big sinuses, and they hate cutting grass. I love spring, but I hate pollen. I hate it. So I'll get out there with that riding lawnmower, and I'll turn that key, and it goes. And I get mad. Stinking lawnmower. Sorry, lawnmower. I go get my truck. I bring it around there. I put jumper cables on it. And it goes. Stinking lawnmower. Sorry, lawnmower. I hate this lawnmower. I'm always saying stuff like that. My wife said, no, you don't hate it. I said, I hate it. So I go in my building. I get starter fluid. It's in a can. You can spray it. I spray it up in that little hole that's plastic that goes somewhere back up in there to a carburetor. And I spray it. And it goes, pow. and the plastic catches on fire where the starter fluid was. Stinking lawnmower. I hate this lawnmower. I hate it. I hate it. My wife says, you don't hate it. You need to remember when you pushed a lawnmower instead of riding a lawnmower. And then I remember when I had to push that yard. I hated that worse. And then I remember trying to crank a push lawnmower. You remember that? And I didn't cuss, but if somebody did, I'd say it, amen. It wouldn't crank. I said, I hate this lawnmower. I hate lawnmower. And then I said, well, remember when you didn't have a lawnmower? Amen. Sometimes we forget how good God's been to us. And then we complain and we gripe and we forget things and we get absent-minded about the good things of God. And today I want to stir your memory a little bit, and I want you to remember some things that people forget who go to church, who have been saved by the grace of God, who have been baptized, who have been blessed by the Holy Ghost, some who have been healed and delivered, some who live now in a house, used to live under a bridge or something. I just want to stir your memory for just a few minutes about some things that Christians need to remember real bad. Jesus said, remember, repent, and you'll overcome. Remember, repent, and you'll overcome. And we all need to remember and repent sometime so that we can overcome our unthankfulness and our forgetfulness. Amen? Amen. Me and my wife was watching a romantic movie the other night. It made me cry. I didn't used to cry at movies. The Lord gave me that old tender heart. And that fellow said something about, you're more beautiful than the day you were when I married you, or something like that. And I looked over and I said, you're beautiful. She said, I don't feel beautiful. I said, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. And just that moment, you know, you have a moment. And I remembered how I felt that day we got married, and I looked at her and I saw that again. And sometimes we have to look at our wives and say, I'm sorry, I forgot. We need to repent, don't we, Billy? Billy and his co-workers used to work at an electric place down there at the Steel Crossing. Can I tell this story, Billy? About the flowers? Too late to stop me now? His wife's laughing. Look at her. Every once in a while, they'd go out back and take a smoke break. That's when everybody smoked. They went outside and took a smoke break in the back. Well, behind them was the floral shop. Busy place, lots of flowers. And they sat there day after day, and they saw every afternoon those people would come out back and throw away some perfectly good-looking flowers. So one of them got this bright idea. Why don't we start taking our wives some flowers? And they started dumpster diving and getting good flowers and taking them home to their wife. And their wife said, oh, honey, you bought me some flowers. Oh, you're so sweet and wonderful. And I see him doing it now. He just smiled. He said, I didn't lie. I just didn't tell the truth. I forgot how the story ended, but anyway, it ended up the wives found out that they were getting them out of the dumpster. I'm sure he had some remembering and repenting to do that day. Amen. But as Christians, we just forget. We get busy. We get distracted. We get away from where we ought to be with the Lord, and we forget. Amen. We forget where He brought us from. We forget what He did for us on Calvary. Amen. We forget how we used to live and how He changed all that. Amen? Come on now. Yep. So today, I want to show you just a few things we need to remember. Number one, here's what helps you remember. Romans 10:17, if you don't know, you can turn there. If you do know, most of you do. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is supposed to be your number one book. the Bible. It's supposed to be our number one book. It's how we receive faith. It's how we know there's a heaven.
Amen.
It's how we know there's a hell.
Amen.
It's how we know that saved people go to heaven and lost people don't.
Amen.
It's how we know there's a Savior. It's how we live and breathe through the Word of God that we can walk and talk and have the victory in Christ. So what we need to do, we need to remember that the Bible is what got us there in the first place.
Come on now. Yeah.
Why, Jesus got me here. Well, it was somebody preached the Bible to you. Somebody taught the Bible to you. Somebody read the Bible. On rare occasions, you did it yourself. And that told you you were a sinner, that you needed a Savior, and He'd save if you'd ask.
Come on now. Yeah.
You need to remember, you didn't get saved because you're a good guy, a good gal. You're not. You ought to have been in Sunday school this morning. I taught out of Romans chapter 5. It tells the origin of sin and what sin is and how people know they're sinners. But you are not a great person. Oh, yeah, well, no, if you think that, you probably ain't even saved. Because you saw yourself as a sinner at enmity with God, an enemy of God, and it scared you. You feared God. And then somebody came along with the story of Jesus, and you felt the love of God that wanted to save you, whether you was good or not. And that day you received Jesus Christ, you were born again. And it's not because you deserve it. It's because He took your place on Calvary. And you're not going to know that without reading the Bible. And every once in a while, you need to remind yourself and read the Bible. We have a Sunday school campaign trying to get people to bring their kids and grandkids to church. To Sunday school. I'll be honest with you, it's not working real good with the kids. Not working real good. We got a lot of old people in our church. I'm one of them. I just turned 64. But if we're going to get the kids saved, we're going to get our grandkids saved, we're going to get our great-grandkids or children or whatever, you must get them in the Bible. And the only way to get them in the Bible is to expose them to people that read, quote, walk, and talk the Bible. That's Sunday school. That's church. That's preaching. A young couple asked me one time, we got three children, what do you have to offer our children at your church? I said, we got Sunday school teaches the Bible, we've got Sunday morning preaching, and we've got Sunday night preaching, we got Wednesday night preaching. They need the Bible. Amen? They don't need a volleyball team. They don't need a bowling league. They don't need a softball team. You can get them out there in the world. They need the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And if your children go to heaven, they're not going to go a different way than you go. And if your grandchildren are not saved just because you are, they must have the Word of God. And I need to remind you of that. It's all about the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And how shall they hear without a preacher, he said. And here we are, a church full of preachers. And we need to be reminded that this is our sole authority for all matters of faith and practice. This is the inerrant, has no mistakes, inspired, God-breathed, infallible, never will be wrong, verbal, that means word for word, Word of God. Jesus said, heaven and earth pass away, but not one jot or tittle will pass away from my word. The Word of God was here before we got here. It'll be here after we're gone. Hey, it's in heaven, and I've got news for you. Nobody gets saved without the Word of God, and nobody can be a good Christian without the Word of God.
Amen. Come on.
Remember how you got saved. Somebody gave you the Scriptures. Who'd you give the Scriptures to this past week?
Amen.
Who did you share one verse with this past week? Well, I'm afraid I'll offend them. You will? They offended you.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen?
Amen.
Number two, we need to remember. Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the assembling ourselves together as the manner of some is, even so to much more as you see that day approaching. Well, preacher, the world's in a mess. The Russians are coming. That's all we hear in the news. The Russians, the Russians, the Russians, the Russians. Putin, Putin, Putin. That's what they say in kindergarten, by the way. Putin. The Russians are coming. Putin's going to blow us all up. You've been watching too much television. The Russians will not destroy this church. Jesus built the church.
Amen.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Right.
If anybody's next to the gates of hell, he is.
Amen.
You know what will destroy a church? When believers forget that they went to church and they heard the Word of God and they got drawn by the Holy Spirit and they felt the love of God and the love of God's people and they were brought under conviction and they went to church. Most people get saved in church in America and they got saved at church. But as they go on after they get saved, they forget how valuable church was to you in the beginning, how it helped save you and how it blessed you and it taught you and it encouraged you and it convicted you sometime, but it comforted you too.
Right.
And some people forget to go to church. How could I forget to go to church? It took me a while after I got saved. I didn't know about church. I didn't even know they had Sunday night. I didn't know they had Wednesday night. I just know I got saved on Sunday morning on the 300th verse of Just As I Am with that one plea. And then after I learned about church, you know what? I never forget church. Well, you're the pastor. I didn't forget church before I was a pastor. And by the way, I know a lot of pastors that forget what church really means too.
Yeah, come on.
You don't have to beg me to go to church. I want to go to church. You don't even have to have a contest. I do these contests and stuff for the little kids, try to encourage them, and I realize there's some Christians who are real immature, and I have to do it for them too to get them to come.
Come on now.
I'll do that if I have to. I drove a church bus for about 18 years, and I went around and picked up kids all over this county. I mean all over this county. You can't go far, much farther than I went picking up kids. And it was an all-day process. But guess what? I had to get those kids, and every Saturday I had to go back and remind the parents that those kids need to be in church because those parents didn't see importance in church, and a lot of them even claimed to be Christians and hardly ever went to church, so I had to go get their kids and take them to church. By the way, you never had to take my children to church.
Amen.
Well, no bus come by my house, picked up my children. I took my children to church. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. But Christians, people who've been saved by the grace of God, blessed by the grace of God, lives changed by the grace of God, through the local church, need to remember how important the church was in their lives. There's people not here today that should be here. There's people who came to Sunday school and left. Now, I don't know what you think about church, but to me, this is the most important day of the week to me.
Come on now.
It's not because I'm pastor. I did this for years before I was pastor. I never look for an excuse not to be in church. Matter of fact, it's real hard to get me to be out of church.
Amen.
I have the same family functions you do, and lost people love to meet on Sundays, and I don't. I want to go to church. I have the same attractions of the flesh that everybody else does. And it just so happens that now so many things happen on Sunday when nothing used to happen on Sunday. And all these activities going on Sunday. And my flesh would like to go to some of those activities too. But the most important day of the week to me is the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. And that's for a purpose, to start out the rest of the week right.
Amen.
We need to remember, Jesus died for the church. This is not a club. This is not a social gathering. This is the body of Jesus Christ represented on planet Earth. This is the most, listen to this. This is the most, the church, every local church, Bible-believing local church. I'm not talking about these new nightclubs, okay? I'm talking about real church. Every Bible-believing church on planet Earth, no matter what name they go by, is the most important organization in the world to God Himself.
Amen.
But somewhere people put it in the back of their mind. And you know, I don't plan to go to church.
Amen. Amen.
I don't plan it. I get up Sunday morning and I go to church. I don't plan it. We don't talk about it. We don't put it on our schedule. By the way, some people see their job more important than they do church. They'll get up tomorrow and said they were sick today and get up and go to work tomorrow because the job is more important than church. They really wasn't sick anyway, Brother Ron. You're sick. You got a heart problem real bad. I was there when the doctor told him, it's surgery, buddy. It's surgery. There ain't no putting no little plug in this one. We're going to have to cut you open. And he's at church today. And there's people that claim to be Christian. They got up with a little sniffle and said, I think I'm coming down with something. I can't go to church. Preacher, you're being mean. No, I'm trying to stir your memory. Jog it a little bit. Amen. Wake you up! Church is the most important organization outside the family itself to God on planet Earth. Now, the family is an organism, and the church is an organism, but the church is also an organization. And it's the most important. I better go on. You need to go to church. You need to take your children to church. You need to build your life around church. Here's the way most people's lives are. They're way out here, and the church is over here, and it just so happens if they ain't got nothing out here to do, nowhere to go out here, nothing's going on, nobody having a reunion, nobody's eating, nobody's playing ball, nobody's having a race, we might end up at the church that Sunday.
Come on now.
But here's us real believers. Our life revolves around that church. Is anything going on at church this week? We're having a meeting this week? Is it time for services this week? And then everything outside the church is over here on the outside of our life. So instead of just accidentally falling into church, that's what we're going to do. Well, church is about us and we're about church. And if church is not having something, then if anything's going on outside that circle, we might go to it. But most Christians today, that's not the case. I thank God for the church. If it wasn't for the church, I'd be in hell right now. I know I would. I thank God for those people who were faithful and they sat down there and prayed for me and sung for me and preached for me so I could hear the Word of God and be drawn by the Holy Ghost of God and be saved. The church did that for me. It may be a little pastime for you, but boy, it is a rescuing place for me. Hold on, it's going to get tougher. Your wife ever come to you and say, did you remember to take your medicine? I know she did. Your wife ever tell you that? Did you remember to take your medicine? I know she did. So I'm not your wife, but I'm your pastor and I'm trying to help you with your medicine. I'm not against anybody in this room. I love you. I love you. I wouldn't do this if I didn't love you. I love you. So take this pill. You need to remember this. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Turn over there, God talking to the children of Israel. They've gotten out of the will of God. Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now, wherewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed. Now you listen to me. I don't want your money. I don't know how much you give. I don't know how much you don't give. I don't know how much you earn. I don't know what a tithe is supposed to be to you. We got a pretty good giving church here. Our giving is pretty good. And I know you don't want me to talk about this because people say, well, I hope the preacher don't preach on tithing today. I got visitors coming. Well, visitors, you don't have to tithe here. But members, I need you to remember, God didn't say he needed your tithes and offerings, but he said, bring them. Why? He said, to prove me. Prove me. He said, matter of fact, you've been robbing me with your tithes and offerings.
Because you, and what he's saying is, you don't trust me to take care of you. And you prove it with your money. You don't trust me to take care of you. He said, but if you'll trust me and you bring those tithes and offerings into the storehouse, he said, I'll bless you so much that the nations around the world look at you and say, you're blessed. Your neighbors say, that's a blessed man. That's a blessed woman. That's a blessed man. Why? Because we honor him in our tithes and offerings. Look, he doesn't need our money. God don't need your money. But that's right. But it's part of the plan. Did you know that he's never going to reign 100-something, probably 300, I don't even know what the power bill is. Probably 300-something dollars in offering. God will never reign 300-something dollars in offering to pay your power bill. He put you down here to do that. See? Amen. Amen. Did you know offerings like Harry Peart there in the Philippines, we call him Bubba. It's hard to talk about him calling him Harry, but Bubba's over there, and boy, him and his whole family are real missionaries, and they're doing the job. But did you know that they depend on God's people to be faithful to give in so that they can stay there, because he can't work a job. Number one, it's against the law to be a missionary and work a job. Number two, he's so busy building. He's done had three churches established, built three churches, built two Christian schools, took on deaf ministry and everything else, and got hundreds of people. He's got a bunch of, he's training pastors. Now, when would he have time to work a job? So he depends on God's people to give offerings to support the work of God. Amen?
Amen.
People come, now, well, preacher, I can't afford this, and I can't afford that. I'm not criticizing you, and I know some people they have bad things with money. You wasn't raised right or something. I don't know. But I know this. God said he'll bless you if you'll be faithful in your giving. And I need to remind you of that. And here's why I need to remind you of that, Brother Billy. Look at that money right there. Did you know you can't only buy a house in York County for $189,000? Much less something big enough to sit in this crowd and all you kin folks that's going to come when we have dinner on the grounds. Listen. I want to help you. Be faithful in your tithing. I just want to remind you of that. I don't know what you give. Don't want to know. I'd love you if you didn't give nothing. But I want to help you. If you'll invest in God, he'll invest in you. And I'm not long tongue tilting on television. I'm not going to promise you you'll always be well. I'm not going to promise you everything's going to work out real good, because the devil ain't going to like you. But God will love you and he'll take care of you. That's all I'm going to say on that. Remember. Amen. What was the formula? Remember, repent, and you'll overcome. You say, preacher, if I tithe, I won't be able to pay this, I won't be able to pay that. You tithe by faith. You go ahead and tithe your first fruits. You don't pay all your bills and then tithe what's left over. You pay. You give your tithe to the Lord, and then you trust him to pay your bills. And guess what? If light goes out, blame it on the Lord. If you can't get groceries, say, Lord, you let me down. I don't think it's going to happen. All things going to happen. Amen. All right, another thing to remember. You still with me? You ain't mad at me, are you? Look at Psalm 51:10. Psalm 51:10. I know it's 4 minutes after. Psalm 51:10. I know the Methodists are already eating out there at the Cracker Barrel. Psalm 51:10. The preacher quit at 5:10. He don't want to preach anyway. Psalm 51:10. Maybe it's she. Or it may be somebody confused. I don't know. Psalm 51:10. You never know nowadays. Psalm 51:10, if you will. In verse 10, he says, create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now, here's what you need to remember. Keep a good spirit. Keep a good spirit. You ever heard anybody say this? I don't like to be around them. They got a bad spirit. You know what that means? They gripe and they complain and they cuss and they fuss and they get mad at the drop of a hat, and they'll drop a hat so they can get mad. Amen? They got a bad spirit. Nobody wants to be around them. And you say, well, that never would happen with Christians. Happens every day with Christians. I can tell it when you're mad at me. You won't even shake my hand when you go out the door. Or either you'll do it like this, Brother Ron. You'll go. I love you anyway. Check man and I love you anyway. But you need to renew your spirit. You've let something get in there that has soured your spirit. Now, listen, the Holy Spirit produces things in us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, faith. That's the Holy Spirit in you. Now, if you allow Him, He can bring that through you. But you can stop that up with a bad spirit. And I don't care how much you witness to people and tell people you don't drink, cuss, or smoke, or chew, or date girls that do. They're going to see your bad spirit. And they're not going to listen to you. You still with me? Boy, I preached to them before. They'd be sitting there going just like this while I was preaching, when I was young preaching. I'm serious. I preached a funeral one time. Three women sat at the back, and all three of them was going. And all I was doing was preaching on heaven and how to get to heaven. Of course, they were Mormons. They didn't agree with that. They had a bad spirit. I've had Christians come to church every Sunday, go to Sunday school, come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and nobody wanted to sit with them. Well, they were critical about everything. Well, you know the preacher, he preaches too long. That's common occurrence. I can't help that. I like preaching. Go find you a preacher that don't like preaching, you'll starve to death and go to lunch early. Or the preacher, he preaches too loud. Sometimes he's too quiet. And I wish he was more scholarly. I could bring my friends if he was more scholarly. I remember just the other week he preached a whole sermon with his britches unzipped. Old man's losing his mind. So wasn't that a good service? Yeah, but I didn't like that song. Wasn't that a good service? Yeah, but Brother Rudy, he prays too long. Oh, man. Just nitpick and complain. And hey, I call them Billy Goat Baptists. Everything you say. The boy, right now, you're blessing. Yeah, but. Boy, ain't God good? Yeah, but. Boy, don't we have a choir? Yeah, but. Billy Goat Baptists. Got a bad attitude. Now, you wasn't like that when you got saved. You loved everybody, man. The preacher couldn't preach long enough. You didn't care if he knew an adjective from an adverb. You just loved it. God was good. Heaven was sweet. The church was a wonderful place to be. And you forgot where he brought you from, and you forgot what all this is about. And now you done got bitter and critical, and you've got a bad spirit. And I'll tell you how to fix that, because you're not happy, and we're not happy with you.
Come on.
I'll never forget what one preacher said. Said this woman told him, she was mad. She said, "We're moving our letter." And he said, "What difference does it make what church you lay out of?"
Yeah.
Amen. What difference does it make what church you gripe in? Because if you ain't happy, you ain't happy. And nobody can make you happy. Here's what you need to do. You need to do some remembering. And remember where he brought you from. And remember how good it was back then. And then you need to repent. And you can overcome that bad spirit. And people will like to be around you. And you will like to be around people. And you'll enjoy going to church and serving the Lord again.
Amen.
I'm trying to help you. Don't get mad at me. I'm going to go back to preaching on tithes. And it got awful quiet. You know what you ought to do every once in a while? Even if you don't feel like it, you ought to smile. You ought to smile sometime. One of my grandkids got up in my lap one day and said, "Papa, you got these wrinkles all up here." I said, "Those are smile wrinkles." I said, "I smile all the time, so it wrinkles up." Amen?
Amen.
You know what you ought to do? Every once in a while, you ought to sing. It wouldn't hurt you to open a hymn book and sing. It wouldn't hurt some of you to join the choir if you wasn't so lazy and didn't want to come to practice. Ooh. It wouldn't hurt some people to open a song book, smile, and sing the praises of God, and you can overcome that negative, bitter, backbiting, unhappy spirit.
Come on, man.
You know, every once in a while, you need to weep. You know, you need to weep. You get that bitter spirit, you'll quit crying. You'll go to funerals, it will not affect you anymore. You'll go to church, it won't move you anymore. Because now you've become a block of ice. You have no real emotions because you let bitterness get down in there. And you need to repent and you need to overcome that stuff by doing it when you feel like it and doing it when you don't feel like it. Smile. Rejoice. Weep. Cry. Thank God out loud every day. Thank God out loud every day. For being so good to you, undeserving as you are. You'll get over that bitter spirit. But you know, you ever heard this? Misery loves company. It's hard to get over it because if you get bitter, Brother Ron, there's two or three already heading that direction and you'll get together. And then it is bad. Blenda called me one night. She was crying. And, well, she was texting me at first, and I couldn't understand half what she was saying. Then she called me. She was in the Bible class, and there was about three or four in there. They done got to backbiting and complaining and gossiping and everything else. And she said, I don't want to hear this. What are we going to do? That crowd left, and they ain't never been back. And by the way, they were led by a preacher, and I called him and told him not to come back. That stuff's like a cancer. It's like a cancer. You get around bitter people, they'll start complaining, and pretty soon you'll see things that you hadn't seen because you're so happy, you're overlooking a lot of things. And by the way, you need to overlook a lot of things or you're never going to be happy.
Right.
And every day, get up and praise God. Hallelujah. I done started walking again. You kind of scared me there with your heart thing, so I started walking again. And I walked another day, and I remembered what I used to do when I walked to the paper box. Because we don't get the paper anymore. It got too expensive, so we cheat and get it online. And so, but we pay for that, too. It's just not as expensive. So, but I used to walk out the driveway and get the paper every morning, so now I do it while I walk. Here's what I do. I say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. I can still walk. Thank you, God. I can still see. Thank you, God. I can still hear. And I'll take me a big old breath. Thank you, God, I can still breathe. You say, what's the big deal? There's a lot of people can't see. There's a lot of people can't hear. There's a lot of people who can't breathe. And I say, thank you, God, I still got people that love me. Thank you, God, I've still got a family that loves me. Thank you, I've still got a church that loves me.
Come on now.
You won't stay bitter. You need to remember where He brought you from.
Amen.
You need to keep a good spirit. You need to love people. You need to help people. You need to encourage people. When you get a bitter spirit, you just push people farther down. You get around them, you gripe and you complain and you're bitter. And you know what you're doing? That person might have been okay before you started. They hadn't seen all that stuff. You know, they say ignorance is bliss. My wife said, if ignorance is bliss, you must skip to work every day. Remember, repent, turn back. Start going the right direction. Start praising God. Start thanking God. Start encouraging other people. Go down there at the nursing home with these guys. Go down there. I guarantee you'll thank God what you got when you get down there. Amen?
Amen.
Go from room to room. Don't just sit out there in that cafeteria where everything smells real good. Go down through there where that guy's bedridden. Go down through there where that guy can't even talk to you no more. Go down through there where that poor old lady's blubbering out of her mind and cussing and hollering going on. She's lost her mind. And you'll walk out there and you say, thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. I'm not in there. Amen? But go in places like encourage those people like y'all do. Encourage that God loves you. Somebody loves you. Somebody's going to take care of you. Somebody's going to help you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to encourage you. And if you'll start doing that, you know what you'll do? You'll lose that bitter spirit.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because you'll thank God for how good you have it.
Well, preacher, I don't have this. I don't have that. Thank God for what you do have.
Amen.
Keep your good spirit. Remember. Repent. Overcome. Now, you know what happens? I think we get spiritually burned out, some of us. We get tired. And church ain't quite as enthusiastic as we used to be about church, you know. And doing the work for God, we're just tired. I hear this a lot. I've done served my time. I already taught my class. I already did children's church. I already went to the nursing home. I already was in a deacon. I was already in the choir. It's time for somebody else to do it. No, you're supposed to do it till you die.
Come on, man.
You do it till you die. And sometimes we have trial and tribulation and people just quit. But we need to remember how good it has been.
Amen.
Before the trial. Before the tribulation. Before the sickness, before the broken heart, before the death, before the tragedy. Remember how good it was. And then look forward to it to be good again. Thank God for what He does give you. Thank God for what you do have. Thank God for it now. Don't wait till it's gone. Do it now. Push that reset button. Get faithful to church again. Love people at church. Let them love you. Love your old pastor. Love your old Sunday school teacher. Love your old deacon. Did I say old, Ruth? Old. Love those who have authority over you. Hey, treat people kindly, whether you're having a good day or not. By the way, you don't know how bad their day might be.
Come on now.
Well, preacher, I woke up this morning with this hangnail and it's broke off. And I've been hurting all day. I guarantee somebody wishes they had that finger. My feet hurt. Amen, my feet hurt. But there's some people wish they had some feet.
Amen.
Well, my house, you ain't seen my... I live in this little mobile home. Thank God you don't live under a bush. Well, you know, my car is 20 years old. Does it run? Thank God you got a car that runs.
Amen.
He said, remember. Remember what I did for you. Remember where I brought you from. If you don't, I'm going to chasten you. I'm going to chasten you. If you're God's child, He's not going to let you stay like that.
That's right.
You will repent.
Yeah.
He'll take your little hiney out back.
Yes.
And He'll break off a Holy Ghost switch. And He'll make you be thankful for what you done forgot, because He'll give you a good memory.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. The worst thing in the world I ever see is an unthankful child. I want to slap them in the Holy Ghost. I want to take a switch and just beat that young'un and whip him and not spare him for his much crying or the blueness of the wound. What the Bible says. They put me in jail if I had kids. Because I want them, listen, I want them to appreciate what God's done for them. Did you know there's people all over this country looking for a little church just like this? A congregation like this? And they can't find one. There's people all over this world wanting the health you have, wanting the job you have, wanting the money you have. They'd tithe if they had the money you have. Or be thankful. Amen? I'm going to say this. You might not believe it. But there's women all over this town would like to have your husband. He's a better man than they've ever known before. And they'd love to have your husband. And you gripe and complain about him. Same way. Hey, the other way. The other way, ladies. The other way. The other way. There's men looking for good wives. Lord, be thankful for what God's done for us.
Amen.
But then most of all, Lord, be thankful for the old rugged cross.
Amen.
Undeserving as I am, He took my sin on the tree and nailed it to that tree so I wouldn't have to go to a devil's hell. And who am I that a king would die for me? Let's stand. If you're not saved today, you don't even know.